morning we're going to continue on the sermon series, Dreamers of the Bible. This is actually part three.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Well, I want you to pray together with me as we get started into the Word today, into our food. Father, thank you so much. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we thank you, Lord, that you have been here with us. And you inhabit the praises, and you go with us, Lord, wherever we go, in giving you praise. And we'll thank you for anointing your Word today. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen. Amen. You don't just have to have the presence of God here in church. Remember, anytime you begin to worship Him, wherever you are at, what happens? He shows up. He shows up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This morning, we're going to continue on the sermon series, Dreamers of the Bible. This is actually part three. Dreamers of the Bible. And so I know that I think it's next week, right, Kathy, that there's a round table afterwards. And so if you're interested in that, there's a list that is out there or whatever. So contact Kathy if you have any further questions. But today we're going to continue into this series. And I want us to go to our intro text here at first. This is in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. I love the book of Joel, and if you've never read through it, I really encourage you to read through it and do some Bible study on this little book. And these are called minor prophets in the Scripture, and it's not because they are less than major prophets. It's just that there wasn't as much writing that was found with them. But in chapter 2, verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days I will pour out my Spirit." So interesting here, I know that there has come some questions in the past, you know, does God just give dreams and visions to men? Well, according to this, what we find out is what, Wanda? I will pour out my Spirit upon who? The handmaids in those days. Now, who is a handmaid? The ladies. Come on now, this isn't a trick question, right? Okay. Okay. "I will pour out my Spirit, and they also will have these dreams and these visions along with my people." Come on, somebody. Today we understand that God speaks to us through dreams. And I know many of you have said, "Man, I didn't know that. I thought it was just through His Word." Now, again, God's Word is the ultimate in what we listen to, but God does speak to us in various different other ways as well. And dreams are one of them. Today, we're going to talk about a way that God speaks to us in dreams. I'm going to actually cover three different things. Number one, God speaks to us in dreams to convey spiritual truths that we can't see in the natural. So I'm going to be talking about that one. Also, number two, that God speaks to us in dreams to confirm promises that He has made to us. And the last one that I want to cover in today's sermon is God speaks to us in dreams to offer sometimes gifts to us. And you're going to find out what that one is all about, and it may shock you, because as you go through the Word of God, you find different things that until you begin to study the Word of God, how many of you know that things that you hear in church sometimes when you're younger just stick with you, whether or not they're true, they just stick with you, I know Sister Lisa was talking about that this morning as we started our worship. And sometimes those things are not true. And so we need to listen to what the Word of God says. But today, starting in number one, God sometimes through dreams can convey spiritual truths to us that we can't see in the natural. And I want us to go, as we begin this one, back in Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to be speaking about a man named Jacob. Anybody heard of that guy before? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The fathers of the Israelite, the Hebrew faith, and the fathers of our faith that we serve the God Jehovah today. Joel is where we started. We're now moving into Genesis chapter 28. Everybody there? Verse 10 is where I want to start. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. How many think that was comfortable? He lay down on stones as his pillow, and he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land wherein you liest, to you I will give it, and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread about to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you in all places where you go. And I will bring you again to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and the stone that he had put for his pillows, he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall God be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto you. Lord, thank you for that word here this morning. But one of the things that I want you to understand, was Jacob awake? Jacob was asleep. And again, here we have another example that the Lord is talking to Jacob in his sleep, in his dream. So God speaks to us in our dreams many, many times. And so one of the things that we find out from this, there are some spiritual truths that we see coming out of this dream. One of the things that we definitely know for sure, based on this dream, is that God has angels that are descending and ascending back and forth from heaven to the earth. Can somebody say amen to that? All right. So Jacob saw it, and he saw it in the dream, which was not a natural thing. How many of you can just look around and see the angels going up and down? We cannot see that because God has closed our spiritual eyes and our natural eyes to those things, and so it has to be something that God opens our eyes to see. And so God specifically showed us a spiritual truth in this dream to Jacob, that actually does happen. Now, the truth is reiterated by Jesus. And I want you to see this over in John chapter 1. Jesus actually speaks about this in John chapter 1. When you get over there, I want you to look down to verse 47. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Now, this was just at the beginning of his ministry when Jesus was gathering his disciples together. And here we find that Jesus sees Nathanael in verse 47. Coming to him, and he said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before that Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And Jesus said to him, "Is it because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree that you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said unto him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Interesting, huh? Now, we are not told anything more about this, but you see, we are only given certain things in the Word of God. But my guess is that Nathanael probably would again see these things, and God would open his eyes later after this and see the angels ascending and descending, coming back and forth to minister to Jesus. Special thing that God did for Nathanael, and we saw that Jesus actually said that it would happen. So there's a spiritual truth here that we see through this. Now, there are also some other spiritual truths that are here in this passage. We know that Jesus was at the top of the ladder. He was in heaven that we see. And so we also can make some possible connections there that the Lord is still working on this earth. Amen, Lee? He's still working on this earth. And he's still in charge. This dream showed significance of angels and their jobs. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have showed it and talked about it when he was dealing with Jacob. Now, do angels have any significance on this earth? Yes, they do. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, just as a side in talking about this. Hebrews chapter 1. The writer of Hebrews is talking about angels here in verse 13. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool?' Are they not," speaking about the angels, "are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So who are these angels sent to help? Come on now. Those that will be heirs of salvation. Let me ask you this. Do you think that angels will come and help somebody that is not saved yet? Absolutely. Because remember, according to this passage, they are sent forth to those who will be heirs of salvation. See, God knows those that will come. How many of you, before you got saved, God saved your life? This physical life. God saved you, and there are reasons. I know that I speak to lots of people that are now saved, and they said, "You know what? I did some of the dumbest things when I was younger. And I don't know why I'm still here. I don't know how I'm still here. It's because God has sent His angels. They were descending. And I think a lot of times the Lord's up there and He says to one of His angels, you better get down there now. And how many in just the nick of time, God spared you? And we don't oftentimes see these things. You know why God doesn't allow us to see things in the natural? Because it'd probably scare us to death. It would, Lee, right? It would. We would look at that and say, whoa, I can't deal with this. Okay? But God does that, and oftentimes within the dreams, God will reveal some spiritual truths that we cannot see on our own. I want to move on into number two here. And this is also, go back to Genesis again. This is also dealing with Jacob again, Genesis chapter 31. Genesis 31, verse 10. Now this, I give you a little bit of a background here. Jacob is working for his father-in-law. Now he's had to work lots of years to get two wives. 14 years. Aaron, would you work 14 years? Uh-oh, don't shake your head like that. Shake your head like this. Yeah. I would work 14 years for Laura. Yeah. She says, you better say that. But struggled in this whole time of working for Laban. And now, here's where we pick this up at. And it came to pass, at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spoke unto me in the dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. What do we have going on here? We have a conversation happening in a dream. Here I am, he's speaking with God. And he said, lift up now your eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban does unto you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar. Remember, we just talked about that. And where you made a vow unto me, now arise, get you from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Now God confirmed, remember the promise that He had made to Jacob earlier? That He said, I will make of you a great nation, I will bless you. Now many years have gone by, at least 14 years. Some say it might be up to 20 years here before this takes place. So God always keeps His promise, but as the Lord said, I'm on time. Oftentimes when we may hear things or God may show us something in a dream or a vision, we may think that it's for when? Right now. But it isn't right now all the time. God's on time, He'll show it and He'll bring it to pass in the time. Many years have gone by, but God confirmed in the dream. Now also, something else that I want you to see here, looking at verse 10, that God shows him in the dream something, that the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. Now what that has to do is that Laban and Jacob made a deal as far as cattle, because they were all Laban's cattle. And Jacob says, wait a minute, you know, I got to have something in this. And so he said, tell you what, the next time breeding season comes around, how about I take all the speckled ones and the ring-straked ones, because you just want those ones that are solid color. And you want them because they're the great ones. How about we do this? And of course, Laban says, yeah, that's a good deal. You take all the junk, right? I'll take the good stuff. You take all the junk. Now, where he gets the idea, we're not told. But he gets the idea that he's going to take pieces of stick and he's going to take off some of the bark of those things and he's going to lay them in the troughs where the cattle are feeding. And he did that when it was breeding season. Okay? Now, some say Jacob was quite crafty, and he was. Okay? We're not sure where he got that idea from, but he got it. But listen, in the dream, God shows him ahead of time. Now, this is before the cattle have produced, for the young ones have come out. And God shows him the multitude of the ring-straked ones that are coming from this breed. And there are many. So God shows him ahead of time in the dream that those are all, that's going to happen. Now, he's taking a chance when he did it. He didn't know that all of this was going to happen. He just was taking, he had a thought. He said, maybe if I do this, it'll work. But God showed him in the dream the multitude of cattle that would come out of that. And God will oftentimes confirm to us, if he speaks to us, if God has given us a word, God may oftentimes give you a dream and show it to you of what he has promised. And I know that God has, in different times, shown me various things that he had promised, and they're there, and I see them, and I know what God's heart is because of that. God makes the promise, and he keeps it, and he confirms it. Now, he not only shows Jacob, but I want you to see something over in the same chapter, what God does. Verse 22. Now, there's something that happens in between here. Rachel and Leah go with him. Jacob arises. He takes his wives, his sons and daughters and all this stuff, and he leaves Laban without telling him. You think Laban's happy about that? Laban's not happy about that, Wanda, because those are his kids and grandkids, and he thinks it's all his. So here's where we're going to pick this story up now. Look at verse 22. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. Laban was after him. Laban was upset. And God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with a sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and did not tell me, that I might have sent you away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and harp, and has not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? You have done a foolish thing in doing so. It's in my power and in my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spoke to me yesternight, saying, take heed that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So God confirmed it, and again, God speaking to Laban said, don't you touch my anointed. Don't you speak evil to him, because I have blessed him. You know, that's a hard concept for us, isn't it? When we see people doing wrong things like Jacob did, he did a lot of wrong things. But yet God's hand was still upon him. And God's promise was still upon him. And God spoke to Laban in a dream, confirming the promise that he had made to Jacob. So if you're Jacob now, you saw it in a dream. You heard God speak to you in a dream. And now Laban comes and says the same thing. Should you pay attention? Should you know that God is going to keep his word? So God oftentimes will confirm promises. Now the last one that I want to deal with today is that God sometimes offers a person a gift in a dream. Now, I want you to go with me over to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. How many of you have heard of a man named Solomon? And what we know about Solomon is he was what? The wisest man that God had ever given the wisdom to that walked upon this earth. But one of the things I think that we miss, you know, there's a conversation that takes place here, but I want you to see this. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. This is right after he first becomes king. He's still young as a king. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For there was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give you. Now, I don't know about you, but all growing up, I had heard that, you know what, God just came and he spoke with Solomon and just asked him this thing, you know, what do you want, Solomon? And they just had a conversation, but this was in a dream. It was in a dream. Gene, he was dreaming when the Lord was talking to him. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart. And you have kept him for this great kindness, for thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne. And now, O Lord my God, you have made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go about or come in. And thy servant is in the hands of thy people, which you have chosen, a great people, and cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I might discern between good and bad, who is able to judge this so great a people. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. All right, we have another conversation, Sheila, that is happening in a dream. Wanda, another conversation between Solomon and God. And this, we know that God was actually pleased with what Solomon was telling him. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and has not asked for yourself long life or asked riches, but have asked for understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you. Neither after you shall any arise like you. And I have also given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like to you all of your days. And if you will walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. I believe that this is something that God does for us is a promise for all of us, just as a side note. If we will walk in his ways, God will lengthen our days. I believe it. Lee is sitting here right now because of that promise. Gene is sitting here because of that promise to love the Lord and walk in His statutes. I know they love God. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now, if you had dreamed this thing and you were talking with the Lord in your dream and you woke up, I think Solomon was like, wow, I just had this conversation, but I just woke up. Oh, man, that was just a dream. How many of you ever said that? Okay. You had this dream and you woke up, and some were good and some were bad, and you say, oh, wow, that was just a dream. Okay. Let me come back to reality. And I think Solomon, at that particular time, still was not convinced because here again, he awoke and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass, as we look, that he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Now, I'm not going to read you the next thing, but one of the things that we do find out here in verses 16 through 27, that there was a case that was brought before him of two women, that they both had children, and one of the children died overnight, and the other one came and got the other child and said, it's my child. And they were fighting between the two of them, and they come to Solomon and said, they're both claiming that this is their child and that the other one died. What do you do? Who's telling the truth? Without knowing it, Solomon says, bring me a sword. Let's cut this little dude in half. Let's cut this baby in half. You'll get half and you'll get half. Seems pretty gruesome, right? But Solomon, out of the wisdom of God, one of the ladies who was the true mother said what? Give it to her. It's hers. Solomon knew by that child was actually hers and restored the child to her. Now, at that point, I believe that Solomon knew this wasn't just a dream. It wasn't just something that was passing, that he was having a conversation with God. And here we see again through that God keeps his promises and that they were real, that the promises, even in a dream that God comes to us and speaks to us, are real. And God promised that in the last days that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And there will be dreams and there will be visions. And so again, God is giving us instruction so that when these things begin to happen, don't think it's such a strange thing if God gives you a dream or God gives you a vision. Now, I am not saying that you should go around trying to make something spiritual out of every dream that you have. Because some dreams are just us putting things together that happen throughout the day. Some dreams happen because of medications that we take. But when God gives a dream, you'll know it's from God. When God gives a vision, you'll know it's from God. And these are examples. God will speak spiritual truths to us through dreams. God will confirm promises through his dreams. And God sometimes will give us giftings through dreams. In this particular one, God said to Solomon, I will make you the wisest man that ever walked the earth. I will give you the gift of wisdom. And God may give you a gift. He may give you a gift and he may speak it through you through a dream. But then God will confirm his word, as we saw happen with Solomon with that example. I want to close off Jeremiah chapter 32. Now, we were just over there a bit earlier. But Jeremiah chapter 32, one of my favorite portions in Jeremiah. Verse 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and thou outstretched arm." We've sung that song before, haven't we? "And there is nothing too hard for you." The dreamers and the dreams that God gives are for purposes, and God is instructing us, and God is teaching us His way. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can gain spiritual truth and understanding through your word, through the things that happen to us. And Lord, we know, as you said earlier, Lord, how appropriate and how on time that was, that you are an on-time God. And Father, if you choose to use any of us in dreams and in visions, God, that it would be for your glory, we know, and that, God, that we would submit to your authority, and God, whatever you have for us as your people today, we submit to your authority. In the name of Jesus, God's people said amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.